Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Mouth Sword Ministries. I'm your host, Timothy Aaron, and I'm joined with
Rhonda Kay.
And we're going to be talking about some end times again today. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of Christian radio, and it seems like that's the number one topic today. A lot of end time discussion. And to me, unfortunately, you only hear the one-sided opinion on the end times, the pre-tribulation rapture. Everybody on the radio want to talk about the pre-tribulation rapture, but I believe in the post-tribulation rapture. I believe the rapture takes place during the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we're going to get into that a little bit deeper today. But before we go any further, we're going to open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. You've given us another day of your mercy and grace and loving kindness and favor. We thank you for life, health, and strength, food, clothing, shelter. We just thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all you're going to do. In these things, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Hey, I just want to talk about the end times today pertaining to the post-tribulation rapture. You know, I believe the mistake that was made on coming up with a pre-tribulation rapture is trying to make sense of the rapture by reading the book of Revelations. And see, Revelations is not in the order of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they messed up. I believe if we just took Jesus at his word in the Gospels when he talked about the rapture taking place immediately after the tribulation. He said, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars of heaven will fall. Then will he send his angels to the four winds of the earth, north, south, east, and west, to gather his elect. So he's talking about the rapture there, in my opinion. Not only that, in the book of John chapter 6, verses 39, 40, 44, and 54, those four verses, Jesus says plainly that he's going to gather all that belongs to him at the last day. The last day, not 7 years before the last day, but at the last day.
The last day.
Right, the very last day. So, in the last day is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
So, that means that we're going to have to go through
we're going to have to go through the tribulation, right? And that's another good point, because what I heard, one of the mistakes that I heard on the radio is that some of the ministers teach that the wrath of God and the great tribulation are one and the same. Mm-hmm. They're two different events, two different things. The great tribulation is going to be administered by the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet for the last 3.5 years. Okay. The wrath of God is going to come as a result of the great tribulation. It's going to come after the great tribulation. And so they quote the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that God has not appointed us to his wrath. And he hasn't. Mm-hmm. He's going to rapture us up before he does his thing. God's going to rapture us up before he does his thing.
But in the meanwhile...
But before he does his thing, there's going to be the great tribulation.
Okay.
And that's a 3.5 year period. The book of Daniel says that 3.5 year period, he calls it a time and times and the dividing of time, which is another way of saying 3.5 years. In Revelations, it says 42 months. And when you do the math, that's 3.5 years. Another way of saying the 3.5 years, when it's referring to the two witnesses, it says 1,260 days. Okay. So these are all referring to 3.5 year periods. Okay.
But so why would God want us to be suffering during those times?
Well, it's the great tribulation that his people got to go through tribulation. And he says it. He says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And it's just like Daniel, the book of Daniel, that's a big end time prophecy book. Mm-hmm. And there's two tribulations that happened in that book. There was the lion's den and there was the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go into the fiery furnace.
Right.
God did not keep them from the fiery furnace. They had to go in it, but they were preserved in the furnace.
Right.
Okay. Same thing with Daniel. He was sentenced to the lion's den. He wasn't kept from the lion's den, but he was preserved in the lion's den. That's the same thing is going to happen in the tribulation. You know, we're going to go through the tribulation, but we're going to be preserved. God's going to take care of his people, but it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be unpleasant. You know, it's not going to be, you know, a bed of roses by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, it's just a testing trial time for his people. And his people are going to have to, he that endures until the end, the same should be saved, the Bible says. So we got to have to make it through it. And then, as a result of the great tribulation, then the wrath of God comes.
Yeah. See, I asked that question because I'm pretty sure a lot of other people will ask that same question as
Absolutely.
Well. You know, but you explained it real good. So I
believe the rapture takes place like this. I believe, according to what I just said, I talked about John chapter 6, verses 39, 40. 44 and 54, where Jesus plainly says he's going to gather all his people at the last day. It don't get no more clear than that for me.
Yeah.
But in Revelation chapter 16, the seven vials or bowls, some translations say bowls, some say vials. But at the beginning of that chapter, it says that this is the beginning of the wrath of God. Okay. And when you read that chapter, when you get down to the sixth vial or bowl, then it says he comes like a thief in the night. So see, this is when the rapture takes place, during the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he is starting to administer his judgment on the earth with the vials or with the bowls. And then between the sixth and the seventh vial or bowl, the rapture takes place, because the seventh vial or bowl is going to be that terrible great day judgment of the Lord, the judgment without mixture, as the Bible, the cup of his wrath without mixture. It won't be diluted. It's going to be heavily concentrated judgment upon the earth. And that's when he snatches his people away, because he hasn't appointed us to his wrath, to that moment, which is at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's what I believe the Bible teaches about the second coming and the rapture and the great tribulation and the wrath of God. You know, I think that they don't do a good job of rightly dividing the word of truth. I just put it like that, because it's clear to me that, like, another thing, I put it like this too. The Bible says that the great tribulation is going to be the final 3.5 years. A lot of the preachers on the radio and on TV say the final 7 years.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep saying seven. The Bible says it's going to be a final 7 year period, but it says the wrath of the great tribulation is going to be 3.5 years. And then after that, I believe the wrath of God is going to be a 30 day period.
Okay. So where'd you get that 30 day period from?
Okay. So I got that from when you compare what John says about the Great Tribulation to what Daniel says about the Great Tribulation. John says the Great Tribulation is going to be 1,200. No, he says 42 months, 3.5 years. Daniel says it's going to be 1,290 days. So that's an extra 30 days. So what I have concluded is that extra 30 days is going to be the wrath of God, you know, waging war on the earth against the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil. And another point to that is Revelations chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, and there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now, I believe in Revelations, just like Daniel, in Revelations, an hour is not 30, it's not 60 minutes, but it's 60 days. So a half hour would be 30 days. So there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour or 30 days. Mm-hmm. Why was there silence in heaven? Because Jesus and his angels were on earth kicking butt.
Okay.
That's why. And so I believe that's the 30-day discrepancy that you see between John in Revelations mm-hmm. and Daniel in the book of Daniel.
Okay.
So, see, in Daniel, he has a time period that's different from basic standard time periods, too. Mm-hmm. In Daniel, a week is not 7 days, but a week is 7 years. So see Revelations in the book of Daniel, they got this similar theme going on where they have, they change the time periods and you have to do the math to figure it out.
So with the 7 years, you did the math on that?
Well, that was kind of, yeah, because in the book of Daniel, he talks about 70 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he gives you information for 69 weeks. So that leaves 1 week. And that 1 week is the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of preachers call that last week, though, the Great Tribulation. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's just the final 7 years. And then halfway in the midst of that final week or that final 7 years, then the Great Tribulation starts.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half. Mm-hmm.
So and altogether, then, it's seven. So mm-hmm. Three and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of that 7 years, that's when the Antichrist will make his presence known.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Great Tribulation will start. And that's when he would begin to conquer the earth with his evil ways. And as he gets stronger and stronger and stronger, you know, the church is going to be on the run. I believe Daniel talks about how he's going to scatter the people of God or God's people. And he's going to get to the point to where he's going to have a system, one world government, and he's going to have the mark of the beast. And you're not supposed to take the mark of the beast if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay. So people have to understand that once again, the wrath of God and Great Tribulation are two different things. So a lot of these preachers, they teach them as one and the same. Mm-hmm. And
I've heard that a lot too. Yeah, a lot.
That's so messed up mm-hmm. because the Bible's clear on that part. I do agree that a lot of the end time prophecies aren't so clear and are confusing, but it's pretty clear that the false prophet and the Antichrist and Satan, they're going to do their thing for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wrath of God comes as a result. So
two different things. So the wrath of God is for 3.5 years as well?
No, the wrath of God is what I was saying was going to be probably a 30-day period.
Okay.
So when Jesus comes back with the sword in his mouth with his army of angels, and he's going to speak the word, and they're going to execute whatever Jesus says, you know, with the sharpness of his sword, you know. So it's going to be a terrible time for unsaved people.
So the 3.5 years when Satan and the false prophets and all them come back, then what happens with the other 3.5 years?
Well, I believe that before the Antichrist comes to power and starts his thing for the final 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in that 7 year period before then, I believe the two witnesses are going to be okay. doing their thing and
right.
winning souls mm-hmm. And you know,
because they do that first,
they're going to do that first, and they're going to have supernatural Holy Ghost power, and they're going to be very convincing, just like Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a lot of enemies.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people ain't going to like the two witnesses doing their thing, because just to, you know, say it without, you know, holding back, there's a lot of churches out here that just ain't right and ain't teaching right.
Mm-hmm.
And when the two witnesses come, you know, they're going to embarrass a lot of these churches out here that's teaching things wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not going to like them. Just like the Pharisees didn't like Jesus and the Sadducees and all these guys, they didn't like Jesus because Jesus was showing them up and embarrassing them. So same thing is going to happen with the two witnesses. They're not going to be liked by everybody. They're going to be loved by a lot of people, but they're going to be hated by a lot of people too. And so
they're going to get killed, right?
Yes, yes. They're, just like Jesus was killed, you know, crucified, the two witnesses are going to be killed.
Who's going to kill them?
It's not clear.
It didn't say.
But it just says that they're going to be killed and people are going to rejoice over their dead bodies. And so that's in Revelation chapter 11. But these are all good points you make and good questions you're asking. And another thing, you know, the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 16, how between the sixth and the seventh vial or bowl, the rapture takes place. And he warns them he's coming like a thief in the night. And I want to talk about that warning a little bit. Because you have to understand, during the final 7 years, the two witnesses are going to get started first, doing great things in the name of Jesus, winning souls for Christ, and people are going to get saved, and there's going to be a great revival. And then as the two and a half witnesses do their thing, now I don't know if their time is going to overlap the Antichrist's time or if it's going to be a fresh cut from their end to the Antichrist's beginning, because it's 7 years, and it can be a clean cut. But anyway, my point is, during the Great Tribulation, people are going to get saved, but people are going to also have taken the mark of the beast. Okay. And here's the thing about taking the mark of the beast. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, when he's talking about adultery, that if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, chop it off. And I believe he's giving end time advice there, because people are going to take the mark of the beast, but they're going to get saved and they're going to want to repent, because they're going to know having the mark of the beast is going to mean that when Jesus comes back with the sword in his mouth, they're going to be executed by Jesus because they got the mark, because Jesus is going to send his angels to attack everybody who has the mark of the beast, whether it's in your eyeball or in your hand.
So, okay. But the mark of the beast ain't going to come until after the witnesses, right?
Right.
Okay.
And but people are going to get saved who got the mark of the beast. And so they're going to have to make the tough decision on chopping off their hand or plucking out their eye. And they're not going to want to do that right away.
So he literally means that?
So in Revelation chapter 16, when he said, hey, you better watch and you better not cut it too close, because I'm coming like a thief in the night. Because people are going to want to wait to the very last moment to chop the hand off or to pluck out their eye. They're not going to want to do that right away. You know, so they're going to want to get with people who know the Bible. They're going to want to get with people who really study the end times. And they're going to want to wait to the very last minute. And I believe that's what this warning is about. When he talks about he's coming like a thief in the night. So watch.
You ain't going to know when he's going to come.
So if you're serious about repenting and getting right with me, you need to go ahead and chop off that hand and pluck out that eye. Yeah, that's what Matthew chapter 5 teaches. I believe the Gospels give a lot of end time advice, a whole lot. And I believe that's one crucial one right there. Okay, you have anything else to add to that?
No,
yeah.
I think I'm good.
But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that today because I just really think that both sides of the coin should be talked about, because on TV and on the radio, you know, all the ministers want to do is talk about a pre-tribulation rapture. Oh, you ain't got to worry about that because God's not appointed us to his wrath. Well, he's not appointed us to his wrath, but that's not the tribulation. That's two different things.
Right.
And they keep teaching like it's one and the same. So I figure I put my two cents out there and say, hey, you know, no, there's another side to this coin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you have any questions or comments and you want to weigh in on this topic of the end time, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at mousesword ministries@gmail.com. That's mousesword ministries@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. We might read your question and come in on the air. Okay. With that being said, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day you've given us of life, health, and strength, food, clothing, shelter, mercy, and grace. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you really anoint us to be able to help hurting people, homeless people, people who are at their wits' end, people who are suicidal. We just want to be able to help people, Lord, that really needs a hand up. We just ask that you anoint us and raise up people with the same passion and like mind to want to help hurting people, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. So this we ask in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. We give you praise always and forever. Blessed, blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.